Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Ruler Podcast. My name's Jack Thurston, and this is the podcast for issue 52 of Ruler magazine. And with me for the podcast is editor of the magazine, Ian Cleverly. Hi, Ian.
Hello, Jack.
And down the line from Denmark is photographer Jakob Christian Sorensen. Welcome to the podcast, Jakob Christian.
Thanks a lot. Happy to be here.
Whereabouts are you in Denmark right now?
I am below a restaurant in a town called Aarhus.
And we are below a bike shop in Clerkenwell, aren't we? We're in a fantastic fitting room. It's called the Bespoke Performance Lab, and it's part of the Bespoke bike shop here, which, I don't know, bike shop doesn't quite cover it, does it, Ian?
Emporium, I think. I mean, we're sitting at the other side of a glass wall looking at Parleys and Moots and Trex and all sorts of loveliness. And yeah, once we've finished here, obviously I'm just going to go out and schmooze.
Yeah, well, they did. While I was waiting for you to turn up, Ian, they showed me this retool fitting rig that they've got behind us, which involves you sitting on what looks like an instrument of torture behind us, but is some sort of static bicycle where everything can be moved around. And then they attach some infrared transmitters to various parts of your body. And over here, there's some sensors that collect all the information that's being transmitted by these infrared transmitters. And it builds up a kind of 3D model of you moving on your bicycle. And then that gets analyzed. And then they get you to open your checkbook and buy one of the really nice bikes on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, it's a bit different from my day. It was a plumb line and a tape measure and a bloke going, "Yeah, oh, that'll do."
I know. When I had a bike fit, when I had a bike fitting, they just stuck a load of those circles, that the hole punch, yeah, reinforcing circles onto my knees and ankles, and then said, "Oh, you chose good parents. We don't need to change anything." All right. Well, let's get to the magazine. We begin as ever with picking out our favourite photographs from this issue. Jakob Christian, do you want to go first?
Sure. Well, I have a lot of my photographs in this issue, but none of them are my favorite. I really like a lot of the shots, but my favorite one is on page 70. It's from the Milton Keynes feature, which and the shot has got actually nothing obvious to do with cycling, which I like a lot. Going through Ruler, I often find kind of a rest in the photos where there's no riders and no bikes in them.
Yeah, so that's a beautiful foggy morning in Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
A foggy morning in lovely Milton Keynes. on the theme of shots having no bikes in them, I liked Jakob's shot from Aspen, that is just this glorious scene that looks like it could have come from a Western, this amazing shot, which is on page 54. It just looks like a film set. It's just beautiful. You just want to get down there and ride your bike. But as Jakob's with us, I'll swerve and go for page 32, which is by Paolo Martelli, and it's of Luca Paolini, who has just a face that just photographs wonderfully. There's just everything about him, you know, his hair, his beard, I don't know, the way he, those creases at the edges of his eyes, just such a beautifully expressionistic, if that's the right word, face.
Yeah, he looks like he could be some kind of a sea captain from the time of the conquistadors.
Yeah, definitely.
The thing is also, whenever I'm at a race, and I know that Mr. Paolini is in the race, then at every point on the parkour, where when I'm waiting there, I always try to get a shot of Paolini because his face is just great.
Well, my pick is a picture of a large gentleman by the name of Dirk, and he is behind his bar in West Flanders.
Yes. Ichtegem.
Ichtegem in West Flanders. And just the lovely, I mean, it just transports you to that bar, that picture, and because it's entirely authentic, and just makes me want to pick up one of those glasses on the bar top there and have a swig.
Actually, the beauty of that photograph is you can't actually feel how icky everything in that bar is. I can assure you wouldn't have wanted to pick up one of those glasses. And as for touching any of the memorabilia, you just come out of there going, I must go and wash my hands.
Oh, really? Oh, why so?
It's just nothing's been touched in there for a decade, I would guess.
But that's how all Belgian bars are, and that's what I love about them.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, that's on page 141. Okay. So those are our choices. Ian, you've got a competition winner to announce before we get on to talking about the contents of the magazine in more detail. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, indeed. So last issue, the question, because we did there was a big feature on Condor Cycles, so we asked, what is Monty Young of Condor Cycles? What is his name at the Pickwick Bicycle Club? Because everybody in the Pickwick Bicycle Club has a name of some description that has been taken from
the works of Charles Dickens.
The works of Dickens, indeed. Thank you for bailing me out there. And Rob Wicks is the prize. We have some lovely winter goodies from Condor. And he correctly worked out that Monty Young is otherwise known as Mr. Green.
Wow. Yeah. Not Mr. Mauve.
No. It's nothing to do with Cluedo. No.
Or Condor Cycles.
No.
Because I got told off by Grant for describing it as purple. Their colours. Condor Racing Team's colours, purple and white, mauve and white, Jack, mauve and white. There's a difference.
Nobody uses the word mauve anymore, do they?
Grant Young does.
Okay.
Well, congratulations to Rob Wicks, and hopefully you'll have received something by now. Yeah?
No. It's on its way.
Great. And we have another competition, so stay tuned for that. Jakob Christian, you have got two pieces in the in the magazine, and you are half. We should explain. You are a half of a celebrated duo for Rulo magazine that goes by the name of the Danes.
Yeah, that's what we are.
Oh, we sometimes insert crazy in between the crazy Danes.
The crazy Danes. You are currently downstairs from a restaurant.
Yeah.
But you're a photographer.
Yeah.
But you're also a restaurateur or chef.
No. Yeah, I'm a chef. During the winter or the off season, then I teach a little, cook students, and that's what I'm doing here actually. So we've been through some fresh pasta today.
how do you juggle the chefing and the teaching with the photography?
Well, whenever the classics or the spring season starts, then I quit teaching. The energy is kind of the same. In the restaurant business as it is at the races. It's a very, very hectic scene. I mean, it's two of my main interests, food and cycling and photography, of course.
And so you're very much a partner, at least for Rouleur, with Morten Okpo. How did you guys become the partnership that you are?
It's actually a funny story. It's in 2009... A friend of mine and me, we decided to go to Roubaix. And then my friend, Pierre, he's called, he phoned me and asked if he could bring a friend. And I was thinking hard, and inside I was going, no, we don't want strangers on this trip. But out of my mouth came a yes, you can take him. This was Morten. And then we headed down from Denmark in two cars, and Morten was in the other guy's car. And then at some Tankstelle in Germany, he jumped out of the other car and into my car. And we just had a blast. We had so much fun. And then he stayed in the car up until now. That's 5 years now. 6 years, actually, when we reached Roubaix again this spring. And then this was his first race. And then we came back Monday or Tuesday. We met at a bar Wednesday and discussed what to do. And then I said, Amstel Gold Race is on Sunday. He said, yes, let's go. And then we went to Amstel, and we came back from Amstel and went for Liège, three races in a row. And that just started it up. We just, we loved it. We wanted to stay at the races, and we thought we were experiencing a lot of great things, and we thought that what we saw, we didn't see that described or photographed by any other people. So we thought this could be something, and it seems like it is something.
And so how would you describe the way you two as a team work together? The way it appears in the magazine is it's words and pictures, one from each, but how do you work together, and why do you only work together?
We work very much as a team in a way that, like, we experience together. It's kind of hard to explain it, but it's like we always know where to go without discussing it at all, which is a good thing at a bike race, since you can't waste any time at all. Morten is involved in picking the shots that I sent to Ian, and then and I always like read his words, and so we do it very much together. Of course, it's Morten is the boss on the words, but and I'm the boss on the photographs. But still, it's a close collaboration between the two of us.
And so you went out to the United States to spend some time with Lance Armstrong, and we did talk a bit about that story, the first part of which appeared in issue 51 of the magazine. You came to some pretty strong, or at least Morten did in the piece, came to some pretty strong conclusions about Lance. And I don't think I'm breaking any confidences or secrets to say that, you know, you really liked the guy.
Yeah, sure. I mean, for a couple of months, I was really worried about how are we going to break this guy, which is a totally well-trained media guy. He usually sort of dictates how and when, and a lot of journalists have had bad experiences being close to Lance. But it was a lot easier than I thought. He was just like a country boy, like Morten and I, and we were laughing most of the time, actually. And of course, you have a lot of thoughts about this man before you meet him, because he's a very clear character in cycling. And we also had a lot of things that we thought, like, we disliked about the guy. But we had to put that aside, because we weren't interested in that side, actually. We wanted to see, is there another guy than the guy that we have met in the media for the last 15 or 20 years? And I don't know if it was all a spin, but then he's really good at what spinning journalists and photographers. I think we just had a really good time with him.
I think Jack asked me in the last podcast, you know, do you think we've been played by Lance? And I just went, yeah, well, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Of course. There's and I was like, I don't care if the story stands up and it's interesting and it's fun, you know. It's just like, how else could we do that story? We're just going to do the same old of, you know, trying to crack him. You ain't going to win that one, you know.
No, you ain't going to win that one for sure. And I personally, I do not find it interesting to do that I mean, not that I wouldn't want to read it if somebody else did, but it's not for me to do, and I'm sure Morten would say the same. Actually,
we did ask in the last podcast, what next for Lance? What do you think is next for Lance?
Well, one thing is for sure, that it's impossible to imagine him playing golf for the next 60 years. So I don't know. I mean, for now, well, it seems like cycling does not have a place for him. Maybe it's a bit too early also. But we will see him on some sort of stage again. He says it ain't going to be politics. He says that for sure. But who knows? Who knows? I really don't know what to answer to that question, because I don't know what's next for him. He says it's golf.
Shall we turn to some cyclocross in Milton Keynes? We mentioned the photographs, but you went.
I did indeed. Yeah. It was wild, man. It was really spectacularly good, and I went there thinking it would be okay, and just exceeded all expectations, from the course to the size of the crowd to the enthusiasm of the crowd as well. They were just up for it, you know, all day long. And that might be the novelty factor. It might be the fact, you know, that we've never had it before. So that's why I guess we were rather more excited than the Belgians. But you know, it's one of the reasons I was so keen on Benedict's photo, where they're the senior men are hitting the first piece of off camber, and it's just hellish, absolutely hellish. I mean, hardly anybody could stay upright on it, and obviously that's where the big crowds are. But it was really testing, and some people love a course like that. I mean, Nicky Harris did very well on it, and some people not so much. But yeah, which is why there's a photo of Nicky Harris smiling there, which is nice to see.
What makes a good course? What makes a World Cup quality course?
It needs to be testing without being suicidal. I mean, I mean, I rode it the following day, and for an amateur like me, it was a nightmare. But when you see these guys and girls doing it, it's their skill level is just something else, and the good riders will come to the top on a course like that. On the flatter courses, I mean, obviously whether it's dry or not is down to luck with the weather, but you know, on the less interesting courses, you can get guys can just power away that aren't necessarily the most skillful riders, and you want to see a world champion that's got everything, really. So no, he's got it.
Do you like to watch cyclocross, Jakob Christian?
Well, I only did it once, actually, and that was great. That was in Belgium with Brian Holm from Quickstep, when we did the feature on him some years ago. We went to the Tombonen charity cyclocross thing in December, and I mean, experiencing cyclocross for the first time, you should do that in Belgium for sure. I was amazed, totally amazed about the crowd and the atmosphere, and the French fries, of course. yeah, I like it a lot.
It does seem that the Anglo-Saxon world is catching up rather fast, doesn't it, with the love for cyclocross in Britain, and particularly in America.
The Americans are getting there. There's rumoured to be getting a round of the World Cup cross, but we'll see, and nothing confirmed, but that would make life interesting.
And let's move on to your second piece, Jakob Christian. This is we're going to Belgium properly now, aren't we, for the Omloop Het Nieuwsblad.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I really murdered that, I think.
No, I think you're pretty close. Omloop Het Nieuwsblad, I think. But
what do you like about this race?
Well, it's the first race of the season in Belgium, of the first of the larger races, and well, I've seen the race on TV for years, and it seems like they drive in the dark already in the middle of the afternoon. And this, in some weird way, this also seems like one of the hardest, because they are more dependent on the weather. Here it's around the 1st of March or the end of February, depending on the year and the dates. And it's like it can get nearly to below zero. So the conditions are extremely hard, which I like. It makes a good race. It's it makes it sort of easier as a photographer to get some good shots when people are, well, they are in pain actually before they start, because it's so cold and they are wet after 10 minutes waiting at the start. So it's just like it's full on from the beginning. And as always in Belgium, when it comes to cycling, it doesn't matter if it's on the roads or if it's cyclocross, the crowd is there and they are there every time.
What I love about it as a photo story is that the photos almost look black and white because of that uniform Belgian greyness.
Yeah.
And it's only the orange kit and the orange Guicciottis, don't they ride, of the CCC squad that just zings out, you know. And if it's not them, it's the marshals in their high-vis jackets. And every photo has that orange just kind of singing through. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. The feature is from last year's race, and well, it was just like incredibly cold and tough conditions, a lot of wind and a lot of rain, so terrible and perfect in the same way.
In Morten's article, he has a sort of extended metaphor describing hunting on the savannah in Africa. Hunting some wild animals with you as the huntsman, taking your photographs, shooting the animals. Mm-hmm. Is that how you feel when you go to a race? Do you feel like you're in hunting mode?
Yeah, you do actually, and it is like the riders, they always talk about the race mode, but we definitely know a race mode as well, especially in the races in Belgium, because it seems like you just like get in and out of the race and you don't know exactly when you're in and when you're out. So all of a sudden you are ahead of some riders, and it's very disturbing actually and very exciting. So you're tired when you hit your pillow at the end of that day.
And how do you go about planning the shots that you're going to take?
You pick some spots, and then I know the roads in this part of Belgium pretty well, and then you choose, like, you choose 5 or 10 spots that you want to go, and then you succeed to get to maybe 4, 5, 6 of them, and the rest of the day you just scream at your driver, which is Morten in this case, trying to get him to the next spot as fast as possible, and then you pick up whatever you get along the way, which is a lot, because I like the whole scenery, the people, the crowd, and also like the marshals and stuff. It has a certain atmosphere to it, I think,
because that does seem to be you know, the way, and that has been for a long time, the ruler approach is to try and capture the atmosphere of a race rather than just the action. Mm-hmm. That is the decisive action, because that's very difficult to capture, and ultimately that's what is on television, that's what the major press photographers will be looking for, the ones who are on the back of a motorbike, they will be catching the decisive moments, but you're after something different.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to be incredibly lucky to get the decisive moment when you're standing on the roadside. So we are there for something else, and I think that goes for all photographers contributing to Ruleur, that we are always there for something else. And then it's kind of simple. Sometimes you just need to turn around 180 degrees and see what's behind you, because that's scenery, or that's what's going on behind you at the roadside is also to me, it's part of the race. Also, if you walk into like a dark brown bar, that's also the race happening there, to me at least.
I can confirm, having driven a photographer in a race, I can confirm that they do shout at you, and it is absolutely nerve-wracking, and it doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
Not for me. I'm a nervous driver, though.
No, but and it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of stress too. It is. You never succeed in getting everything you want. I mean, that would make me be very suspicious. If I one time at a race got everything I wanted, then I would think something is terribly wrong here.
Let's talk about cycling novels briefly to wind up. I enjoyed the piece by Paul Maunder. He's a writer. He would like to write a cycling novel. I mean, he's an established writer, 20 years writing fiction, but he's blocked. And he goes into what makes and what doesn't make a good cycling novel, and asks the question of why there are so few genuine cycling novels. Obviously, he picks out the rider as head and shoulders above the rest. I think he misses out on Bad to the Bone, James Waddington, which is a book that was published in the 1990s, sort of kind of magical realist parable of doping, ultimately. Jakob, did you have a chance to read that one?
Yeah, I did.
In Denmark, is there a literature, or a fiction literature of cycling?
No, not really. We have Jørgen Leth, who is the commentator. He's a filmmaker as well. He made the movie from 1976 about Roubaix.
Oh, A Sunday in Hell.
A Sunday in Hell, yeah. He writes cycling poetry. He has one of my favorite poems of his is about Fausto Coppi. So we have that, but that's about it, I think.
Well, I think it's interesting. I think Paul says quite early on in the piece is you'd think that bike racing would have all the necessary ingredients, and nobody's really, really hit the mark, and especially. Well, you think the popularity of the sport in the UK in the last few years, you'd think there must be some writers sitting out there just going, come on, you know, like I just need to get this story together. Maybe somebody's working on one, I don't know.
Maybe there are so many good real stories that you don't, told by people like Richard Moore and others, Matt Rendell, that you don't actually need to invent them.
What, as in, like, you couldn't make it up?
Well, exactly. I mean, if you did make it up, they'd go, God, no, never, that never happened. No. Yeah. What, win the Tour de France 7 times and then get found out for doping? No.
No way.
But also, I think what's quite, I mean, it's a good advice for anyone who's listening, thinking that they might be the person who's going to write this great cycling novel, is that a great novel is never really about something like cycling or any sort of way of life. It's not that is the setting, and that is the incidental scenery, but ultimately satisfying and successful novels are about human relationships.
Yeah.
Well, I would just say that in terms of Breaking Away, and you'll get some people who will say that Breaking Away is it's not a good cycling movie. Well, no, it's not. It's a human story. It just happens to be based around a guy that rides a bike. You know, and that's the angle it kind of needs to come from if there is a good novel to be written.
Yeah, I mean, storytelling doesn't come from 11-speed cassettes, and you know, as Paul says in the thing, you know, whether he's wearing a cap under his helmet or not, you know, all the little incidental details that I think novelists often want to immerse themselves in. That's just boring, you know, to read for the reader. That is just boring, unless you're describing some very, very outré, interesting world that is not really available to be seen elsewhere. You're really lifting the lid on you know, the mafia or something like that, some hidden place. I don't know, maybe the peloton is a sufficiently hidden place that you could describe, you know, what goes on in it, and people would be interested and find that interesting in and of itself, as well as the human relationships that you'd need to develop in a novel. Do you think Morton would turn his hand to writing a great cycling novel? I mean, he's a terrific stylist. He's got lots of interesting things to say. I mean, he often roams freely, bringing in all kinds of ideas and philosophical discussions into his stuff. Do you think he could turn out a cycling novel, Jakob Christian?
Well, I think he's able to, maybe if we all ask him for a couple of years, several times, he would try it out. But I think what he's already doing is he is mixing a little fiction into to the things he writes for Ruler, and it makes the stories a little bit better or a bit more juicy, and maybe it's just like rehearsing to go all the way at some point. I don't know. I would love to read it though. I think he's at his very best when he mixes a little bit of fiction into it. I think he does that very well.
So you don't mind being the butt of his fictional anecdotes then?
I'm always that
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
when I read what he writes, then I always think that I wish that he wouldn't use me as the stupid guy in this story.
You're the fool guy.
Yeah. Well, I am actually, so it's fair enough.
Okay, so competition time. Ian, you've got a question.
Yes. Oh, prize for this competition is a ruler, rollerball pen, classic sport rollerball pen, and a notepad as well. Real old school, you know, for people who write letters
or novels
or novel. Yeah, very nice piece of kit. Question for this competition is. Roger Hammond features in the opening piece of the magazine talking about the Tour of Flanders and indeed the Muir specifically. We've got a piece on the Muir, and it's sadly no longer in the race. How many Tours of Flanders did Roger Hammond ride? And the email address to send your answer to is competitions@ruler.cc.
competitions@ruler.cc. How many Tours of Flanders did Roger Hammond ride? Well, elsewhere in the magazine you can read about Luca Paolini, Andy McGrath with the words there, and the usual columns from Matt Seaton and Robert Miller. Great piece actually, I thought, from Matt on night riding. I really enjoyed that. You can find out about Canyon Cycles. Timothy John went out to Germany with Martin Schmidt to take the pictures, and this murder mystery from Olivier Nielsen-Julien about Richard de Poorter. So a wide-ranging magazine. Jakob Christian, thanks for joining us, and thanks for the photography and the cooking and the swearing and the drug taking.
You didn't
take any drugs at Lance's place, did you?
No, we really tried to get hold of some, but it was just impossible.
Because I was really hoping that you'd do that thing like Will Self did, didn't he, in the battle bus. Oh no, he was on John Major's aeroplane during the 92 election and indulged in some Class A action, which I think got him thrown off pretty quickly. But I was hoping that you'd have maybe had a quick line down in Lance's den.
Trust me, we tried all we could with no luck.
Well, thank you, Jakob Christian Sorensen, Ian You're Cleverly. Welcome. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for downloading this edition of the Ruler podcast. You can read Ruler magazine, which comes out 8 times a year, by taking out a subscription. Go to www.ruler.cc. Or you can pick up the latest edition at a growing number of bookshops and bike shops. If you've got an iPad, you can read the magazine on the iPad. Not only the current issue, but a handful of back issues as well. You'll find it in the Apple Bookstore.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.